It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Sorry for that. A little, I don't know what was going on.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here, checking out the series. Please do hit that subscribe button. That way, you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week. So new and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones at all the usual spots, including iTunes and Apple Podcasts, Spotify and Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. That's me, Kyle Meredith, today catching up with Jim Kerr of the band Simple Minds. They're back with a brand new record called Directions of the Heart, 19th studio album. We're going to be talking about reaching into their past for songs like Act of Love, which was actually the first song that they played at their very first show in 1978, but never recorded. We're going to talk about being inspired by folks like Patti Smith and Lou Reed, television, Talking Heads. Jim's going to discuss his friendship with Sparks' Russell Mael, who I guess on one of the tracks, and being a generation-defining band only to have grunge bands like Nirvana and Pearl Jam turn their critical tides. And while we're doing that, we're going to discuss the backstory on 1998's Neapolis. It's an album that really gets looked over in their catalog. But mostly, it's about Directions of the Hearts. Let's get into this. It's Kyle Meredith with Jim Kerr of Simple Minds.
Thanks for having me on, Kyle. Always a pleasure.
It's a pleasure to have you back here, especially with a brand new album. We're talking about Direction of the Hearts. And right from the first single, we knew we were in for something special. And this is such an outstanding record. Congratulations on what you guys have pulled off once again.
Thank you very much. Take that encouragement. That's a lovely compliment. Yeah, we've been getting a lot of compliments about it. And that certainly makes, you never know. You know, you do your best and you never know. But I guess most people you talk to, whenever they put something out, they'll tell you, I'm really pleased with it. Well, we are really pleased with this, Kyle. It's a good Simple Minds record.
No, it really is a good, maybe a great Simple Minds record. That's how I'm feeling about it right now. I'm going to throw a broad question out here. Maybe it'll work, but what was the story you wanted to tell with this album? If there was a story, and did it end up being the story that was told?
I mean, I think there's always this thing now where with every new record, there's a sweet spot. I'm not so sure this is a story, but there's certainly a target that you want to hit. And there's a sweet spot that for us is, you kind of want to conjure up the ghosts of the past. And I say conjure up because that's the most you can do. You can't go back. That was then, this is now. The world's changed, you've changed, technology's changed, everything's changed. But there are certain things and certain sounds and a certain attitude that we feel, if we get right, conjures up those early days of Simple Minds. Now, that's great, but we don't just want to be wallowing in nostalgia. We want it to feel of the moment. We want it to feel contemporary. hang on a minute, that's a contradiction in terms. Yeah, well, it may well be, but there is a sweet spot somewhere in there where those two can kind of bridge. And that's what we were hoping we could, that's where we were hoping we could land.
Well, that's really evident, especially when you take a track like Act of Love, which, as I understand, does stretch all the way back to the very, very beginning, next to something called Who Killed Truth. I mean, that is very much something directly to the past and something that we're dealing with right in the present.
Bang on, absolutely. You nailed it there.
Yeah, and they do play together so well. So let me hear about a few of those, because, well, let's start in the past. Let's start with Act of Love. Because once you hear, like, okay, as I understand, like, this is the very first song on the very first set list of the very first Simple Minds show, and somehow gets lost in time, resurrected, rewritten. Why now? What made it finally speak to you?
Well, here's the thing, Kyle. All these years of music, we still, you know, there's always an element of mystery involved, and you're never quite sure why now. You just think, you know what? I can hear this again. But to explain to your listeners, the song in question, Act of Love, Simple Minds played their first ever gig. It was January 17, 1978, in Glasgow, freezing cold night, half-empty discotheque, as they used to call those things back then. We went on to the sound of our own feet. And Charlie hit these chords to a song called Act of Love. Now, for years, people have said to me, did you think in the early days that Simple Minds could go on and have the career that you've had? The answer is, of course not. But I tell you what, when Charlie hit those chords that night, I thought, he's got a future. I don't know about the rest of us, because they sounded great then. And I tell you what, they still sound great. But we still, for the next year and a half, playing all the pubs and clubs in Glasgow, trying to get a record deal, trying to hone our act together, we started with this song, Act of Love. Because, you know, it's important when no one knows you. Your first song better make impact, or you don't get a second song in some of these clubs. And it always made impact. It was our banner song. But when it came a year and a half later to doing our debut album, the ideas were pouring out of us. We had so many new songs, and being young and being impatient and being impetuous, we thought, oh, that's old news. And so poor old Act of Love got sidelined. I was thinking, one day we'll go back to that. One day we will go back to that. Well, lo and behold, a few years ago, probably about 3 years ago, someone, as people want to do, did some sample thing and had it on YouTube, and it was Charlie's Act of Love chords. And God, they sounded great. And it was like, we got to go back to that. Wouldn't that be great to go back with the voice of experience now? I mean, it's essentially the same song, but we strapped on a few engines and we strapped on a better B chorus and all that stuff. So it was really taking this thing, the seed that was planted then, gone back and seeing what we could do with it. And just even the song title itself, Act of Love, you know, people say, you know, you've been making music now, records 40 years now, what keeps you doing it? It's the love of it that keeps us doing it. So even that, as corny as it sounds, it all felt right.
Do you remember what originally inspired you to write whatever was on your mind back in 77 78?
I mean, back in those days, you're so, you know, you're drowning in your influences, you know, whatever it was, whether it was Jim Morrison, whether it was Patti Smith, whether it was Lou Reed, Tom Verlaine, Television, Talking Heads, all those bands that inspired us. We would have been trying to do our version of that.
And we'll be right back right after this.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Welcome back. Kyle Meredith with Jim Kerr of Simple Minds.
So then let me pull that into the present. You know, that's what you were pulling from when you go into Act of Love all those years ago. Now that you have it here, what does it say to you? How does it speak to the moments?
I'm almost embarrassed to say it sounds great. I mean, we shouldn't be having that kind of energy at this stage of the game. I mean, it just defying gravity there, man, Kyle. It's flying. We not only is it on the record, but we just did a 5-month tour there throughout spring and summer, and we started the set with it every night. I mean, to a lot of the crowd, they wouldn't have known it, as you get with a new song. Do you want to risk starting the set with a new song? When it's got energy like that, yeah, I could see a lot of people say, I don't know this, but I like it. Because it kind of, there are certain songs the energy of it sweeps you up. So that's my impression of it now.
It really does. And it has that moment. You even captured that on the record, which is not, you hear a lot of artists talk about that, right? Like, oh, if we could only capture that feeling that we have live. You know, it seems like it's a hard thing to do, but those moments are all through this record.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it is different. I mean, adrenaline's there live, things are usually a bit more out of control and all that, and your heart's pumping at a million miles an hour. But you do want to, there's something visceral about playing it live, that if you can keep that, if you can conjure that in the studio, then with bands like ourselves, it's important.
Well, you know, as I mentioned another song in there too, with Who Killed Truth, which is such a poignant moment on this. I don't think we have to think too hard about maybe where the inspiration came from on this one, as it paints it pretty plainly. But, you know, you've done that through your career. You've had very poignant songs that were written about very specific moments in history. When you have a track like this, or any of the ones in your past, I don't know, what does it mean to have a song like that that does speak to a moment in history once that moment has passed?
I think there's something about, you know, I mean, there are no rules. You're an artist, you can write about whatever. But for me, I've always liked, among other things, certain artists when they tackle the big themes. When say the themes of the day, whatever those are, you know, and of course the themes of the day, they're always changing as the world's always changing. New language comes in, new catchphrases. I mean, so it's always great if you can be a little zeitgeisty, and if there's, you say Who Killed Truth, that's a great song to actually, you know, I think we know it's something especially. In America over the last few years, I saw that phrase pop up quite a bit. It could be Shakespearean, though, could it not? I mean, I could hear someone, one of those characters in Hamlet saying, but sire, you know, who killed truth? So it's kind of timeless. It's just beautiful.
If we're talking about song titles and how they came out, what exactly is A Solstice Kiss?
Well, that was just poetry. It really was. I mean, that was the song where our bass player, Jed Grimes, came up with Jed has a real background in Celtic music. And when he came up with the instrumental idea, I mean, you could feel the mists in it, you know, you could feel a bright winter morning. I could anyway. And certainly my job as a lyric writer, I feel, apart from coming up with complimentary melodies, I feel my job is just to try and tell the listener what's the picture in this music. And I could feel a landscape, and I could feel a romance in it as well. It was such a sweet, haunting melody. And so at the time, I guess it would have been about this time of year, I was writing it in Scotland, heading towards solstice, and it just all bled into the song, really.
Now, this one, Solstice Kiss, has a tie-in with an ad campaign for the spirit of 1926. I watched the little documentary that you guys shot on their website. That's on their website. Was this a song that was written by assignment? I mean, did it come along like that?
No, in fact, it had been written some while ago. I mean, a lot of it, well, actually, we started with like Act of Love. It was written some while ago, 45 years. That's some while. some ideas take a little extra time. But I would say half the songs we work on, very few do they pop up and they just make it on the next record. Two or three maybe do. Those ones that land on your lap. But with a lot of the ideas, they're back burner, and you come back to them again, or something great about it. This is great. This is great. This is great. Is it great? Nah, it's good. Big difference between good and great. Okay. What's missing? Sometimes it takes you a long time to find the missing piece. But anyway, I always had faith in it. Charlie a little less so. And just about that time, Whiskey Company got in touch. We'd love Simple Minds. Yeah, which Simple Minds do you hear? We hear the Celtic Simple Minds. Oh, we just happen to have one of these lying around here somewhere. Let me have a look in my desk. And then we went at it again.
So if that's the way you typically have written over the years, kind of letting them gestate and it takes a while or whenever they arrive, like how much is sitting in the backlog right now? Like when I'm projecting here towards that next record, whenever that is, you know, and whatever makes it happens to be sitting here, like, is there a lot? Is it what you call, like, is that the vaults?
There is a lot because I'm every couple of weeks I go through again but the true answer to that is I would have to break into Charlie's house and steal the files because he tells lies about what's there. There's a lot more there than he drip feeds me things. And I say, what's that? Hang on a minute. What was it? Some pop-up. You never played me. Yeah, I did play you that. You never played me that. I would know if you played. No. You got to give me it and give me all the other stuff that's on. Yeah, I'll give you it, but I never get it. So, but when we say stuff, I mean, there could be stuff that's, you know, a minute long. And then there could be stuff that's 12 minutes long, but needs to be brought in. But the answer is he's the kind of guy that, you know, he's a natural. When he gets out of bed in the morning, before he's even finished his first, or while he's having his first cup of coffee, he'll be at the piano or he'll have a guitar around his neck. Or that's how he meditates. That's how he thinks. That's how he, and you know, stuff will be happening. And then he'll record things and then work on them. And then at a certain point, I'll get it and he'll let me see what kind of sense I can make of it.
It seems like a process that's worked all right for you guys.
It's all right, yeah.
And we'll be right back right after this.
Jorge Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome back. Kyle Meredith with Jim Kerr of Simple Minds. I also want to hit on Russell from Sparks is on this. That was such a nice surprise. I'm such a big fan of Sparks too. And what an interesting, and we're talking about the song Human Traffic, melding that you all make together. What's your all's friendship? I mean, does that go all the way back as well? And how did he end up on here?
Well, like yourself, we're fans and we go way back as fans. I mean, again, talking about Charlie Burchill, my songwriting partner, Charlie's big brother Jamie was the cool guy at school. He had records before anyone had, and he had the first couple of Sparks albums when they were on import. And, you know, through their career, what an amazing career they've had, dipping in and out, always been Sparks fans. And the last couple of times we've toured, Russell's came along, and we were thrilled to see him and talk to him, sweet guy, and but never, you know, exchanged, but that was it. But going back to what I was saying before, that was a case of a song that had been lying around. People who had heard it kept saying, that's great, you got to go with it. There's something missing, there's something missing. I remember saying to Charlie, the chorus doesn't make me, and he says, doesn't make you what? Dance? No. Punch the air? No. It doesn't make me laugh. And he said, what are you talking about laugh? We don't do laugh. I said, but it should be with this song and all the words, it has to kind of, it has to flip. It has to be something comedy. And just as I was saying that, Russell's face was appearing. Not that Russell's any comedy act, but they are hilarious as well.
Very much, yeah.
And I thought, I think I know the guy that could just add a little touch to this. And we were very honored and thrilled that he agreed to do so.
Legends, those fellas right there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And together. I'll ask about one more song on here because it closes out as a bonus track. I believe it's a bonus track with Wonder Times. It's such a great way to end what I've heard on here. So is that one of the new ones? Like the new ones?
The reaction to Wonder Times has been much better than we thought. We liked it, but people who like it really love it. And I think there's something classic Simple Minds about that. And it's somehow, it's another one that's almost got a sort of teenage, naive hope involved. But go back to Wonder Times. We're going back to, you know, let's be honest, right now, things are complicated. And when you get this piece of music, it kind of, there was something in a great way nostalgic about it. And that's the words that popped up.
Yeah, well, it is a fantastic song again, and a great addition to it. So the one thing I do want to say about my first reaction to this and hearing about how you all reach back and what, especially when we were talking about Act of Love at the beginning here, it just coincided. I, you know, complete coincidence. I was listening to the Neapolis. Did I say that right? That album.
Yeah, you did. You did. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You know, I always like the anniversaries, and I'd kind of been looking at that anyway because it's coming up on the 25th anniversary. And I don't know if you look at your albums sort of in those connective sort of ways. It's not like these two sound like each other, but that felt like another one. And from what I understand, that you all were in a moment where you're going, all right, how do we recapture some of that youthful energy? I love that record. I don't know if it got its fair due at the time, but I absolutely do love it. I don't know. Do you hear any connective threads that I'm hearing in those?
I'll tell you what I'm hearing. It's nice that apart from Charlie and I, someone else in the world likes Neapolis. Thanks for that, Kyle. Thanks for that. Yeah, I must say I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, certainly at that point in Neapolis when I think that, so that was, we were getting it tough at that period. I mean, you know, when you've been a band of, let's say, a band of one generation, and I'd like to think Simple Minds were one of the bands of our generation, you're going to get it in the neck from the next generation coming over the hill with their Nirvanas and their Pearl Jams and their Happy Mondays and their Stone Roses. And anyway, we were finding it tough. We didn't know where we could fit in. But I like that. I like that record. I think I remember at the time it was when a lot of the new technology was coming in, and MIDI files and all that stuff. And I think the record suffers a little bit from us not quite knowing what we were doing. But the songs in there, songs like "Song for the Tribe," I think is beautiful. So Killing Andy Warhol, loved that as well. But you know, you don't always hit the target, but sometimes what you can learn from the mistakes or the errors or something that is they are valuable. But it's nice to meet someone else who likes Neapolis.
It's got such a great feel to it, and I do hear the technology that was coming out at that time, because I mean that's I think that's very really evident. It doesn't to me overcrowd the songs, and it doesn't even so much put it in an era. I don't know, I've always just liked the emotion that record makes me feel. But cool. It also says something, like, I think, you know, the life cycle that albums can have, the same way that artists can have. I mean, as you're saying, especially when you get 10 years, right? And then the generation, as you say, the pop culture flips, and the valleys start going like that. And if you stick around long enough, it all comes back around. Somebody starts paying attention again, and then you're back in vogue. And I think that same thing happens with albums, especially now that they're just all online and everybody hears it all at once, you know. An album from 81 and 98 and 2022 all at the same time. I mean, for yourself as an artist, that's what is that like when that starts to happen in that sense?
I'll tell you what's really interesting. I mean, I am exaggerating a little when I say we're the only three people in the world, the people who like it really love it, but that just a lot of people really like, what was that all about? If you were expecting Don't You Forget About Me, or you were expecting the album that preceded it, Good News from Next World, you know, it was such a departure. But, you know, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. You do the same old thing. Oh, it's the same old thing. If you change, oh, what it was, it's changed. But as an artist, you got to go through it. You have to go through the good times and the bad, and you have to go with what's in you, and even then, what's in you can be, if other things in your life at that time maybe are not going so swimmingly, your confidence goes up and down. But certainly with the new record going into that, it was one of those records where every time I walked into the room, I thought, oh, this sounds really good. That's not always the case. Just this sounds really good. I wish they were all like that. This just sounds good.
Well, that's a perfect circle that we've just made there, because Direction of the Heart does sound really good. Jim, I always love what you all do, and I'm so grateful that you're still doing it. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk about this today. It's always an honor.
Good man, Kyle. My regards to you and all your listeners.
My thanks to Jim Kerr, Simple Minds. The brand new album is called Directions of the Heart. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, before you get out of here, hit that subscribe button. That way you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. Again, it's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. A great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover the new ones at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify and Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org, where you'll find me weekdays from 6 until 10, giving you song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, and bonus interviews. That's Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Mastodon, Post, all of them at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Stuff happens all the time, that's right.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.